All right, here we go. Soulful Solo Sundays. And yes, I do have the lo-fi study jazz music in the back. I'm going to kind of turn it down just a little bit. Something to just ease my mind. Yes, I am in the house today. I am not in the car. I have taken a sip of pre-workout, you know, just to get my body ready. What am I going to do at the gym today? I'm going to do a little full body. I'm going to do a little arms, a little chest. I'll probably warm up with the jump rope. You know, get that heart pumping. Get the Stairmaster going. Get those legs loose. Probably do some dynamic stretching. People who overstretch before they work out, I know y'all be tight. Like after you stretch, or either you be tight or you be too loose, which is why like the dynamic stretching is probably the best way to go. Like you see people like kicking their leg as far as they can back and as far as they can forward, like high, you know, whether they're going back or whether they're going forward, right? So that actually gets the body ready to do things that involve you to move. So, you know, that's just, you know, one of the little things that I just wanted to put in there. Shout out to Sean. I do my mass, and I took quite a bit of time because I know some of y'all want to get to the topics. So I'll just run through them kind of quick here. I know I do music. A lot of the same music has transpired since the last time I actually came to y'all and talked to y'all. I haven't really just found anything just worth my while. I haven't found anything that just really hopped out to me. It's almost like the women's rap scene is now becoming more media driven, pushed, forced upon us. The sexual stripper rap, it ain't even really about bars no more. It's twerk contests on stage. I saw Sexy Red's feet. They were really dirty. And she said that comes from hard work. Now, I don't know if this is the greatest marketing ploy ever. Shout out to Say Cheese and Sean Cotton. Shout out to Hip Hoppity's Instagram. They said that it was a great marketing strategy. And I saw people in the comments talking about how it was a great marketing strategy. I don't know how a great marketing strategy involves you having dirty feet from twerking on a dirty stage. Who's responsible for cleaning that stage so your feet won't look like that? If y'all haven't seen Sexy Red's feet, I really don't believe no woman's feet should look like that. Even if you're from the country, whatever it may be, it's other things like I can actually worry about and talk about. I just got a headline. A teacher, a black woman, has been missing in Maryland for a week. And here we are with another black woman missing. You got a young black woman taking pictures of the bottom of her feet on Instagram. How are we supposed to feel that society has been programmed to pay attention more to the bottom of a dirty rapper? A dirty footed rapper, and it's stuff like this going on where whole human beings are missing, kidnapped. Now, granted, you know, Sexy Red, do what you do. Stay, you know, your lane is your lane. You're an entertainer. I can accept that. But people calling themselves hip hop artists and people calling themselves rappers, it's not even a fine line. It's a very touchy subject, and it's a very big difference in distance between the two. when you're an entertainer, more than likely you don't write your own, you don't write your own bars. You don't write your own raps. You entertain well. You know how to say certain things. You know how it needs to come out your mouth. You know what I'm saying? But when you're an artist, you're a creator. You know, you're an innovator, you're a thinker, you're a writer. So if people aspire to be that, sit down and focus on the music. Stop investing in yourself so much. Invest in the music. Invest in what you put into the music. And then, of course, the promotion will do itself. Because there's some artists that really don't need any big industry push at all. If you nice, you nice. Shout out to Cyrock. S-A-R-O-C. Cyrock been nice for a long time. Her fan base might not be as big as a Cardi B or a Meg Thee Stallion or a Big Lotto or, you know, growing Sexy Red. And shout out to those young ladies, even the Cardi B's. You know, whether you write your own raps or not, you know, it's still hard to stay relevant. But when your music keeps you forever relevant with your audience, that's awesome. A lot of people don't think Joe Budden makes music because you see him in the podcast world. He does live music and he has his own songs and it's almost like poetry. Now, if y'all didn't know, Joe Budden is a very talented writer and his pen is crazy. Now, he might not give you all the hits that you desire. You might clown him for doing Pump It Up, but this man can pack out a small venue, and that's not a joke. He can pack out a small venue of faithful fans who know every single word to every single ballad and or song, or hip-hop ballad, I would say, right? Now, enough of the music. Let's move to the anime. Gear 5th. One Piece has dropped episode, 1073 to 74 episodes of One Piece. I watched it all in like maybe 3 or 4 months, starting from episode 1. I stopped at 74 and then I kept going after a while. I got tired. But again, like I said on the last pod, it turned up after like 250. And then from there, you on a magic carpet ride. And again, it is a Mount Rushmore anime. Definitely that. I don't know if it's third or fourth, but it is definitely a Mount Rushmore anime. Okay? All right, sports. I don't really have no such and such topics because I kind of want to get into the meat and potatoes of what I want to talk about, because the topics I'm looking at is pretty crazy, right? But the sports is going to lead into topic 1. Fantasy football is upon us. The regular season is upon us. Of course, y'all know my favorite quarterback is Deshaun Watson. Even if he is not a Houston Texan anymore, I hope he does well with the Browns. But let's talk about one of the rookies, right? Dorian Thompson-Robinson got out on the field and went crazy. I know y'all saw that. Thursday night game against the Jets. I know y'all saw it. He was out there pump faking, jump cutting, threading a sweater. He was out there working. Doing the bit, and then they won too. 21-16. They beat the Jets. And I know it's the Jets, right? Who cares? It's football. They got out there and they did their thing. I'm gonna go over a couple other players in this game too that I liked and I paid attention to. So Dorian Thompson-Robinson, 8 completions, 11 attempts, 82 yards in the air, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. Now, I'm pretty sure there wasn't a full playbook to work with. I'm sure that they're trying to see, can he get acclimated to the game? And hell yes, he did. QBR was 124.1%. Let me say that again. QBR was 124.1%. Kellen Mond started the game. Kellen Mond did very, very well. Kellen Mond, for the former quarterback of the, where was he at? He was at the Minnesota Vikings, and then in college, he was the former quarterback of the Texas A&M Aggies. He was 13 for 19. 13 completed passes, 19 attempts, 92 yards, one touchdown, one pick. QBR was 74.9%. That's the QBR. Very good. Wonderful. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, I've been talking about him since before he got drafted. I thought Dallas was going to go get him. But see, Dallas, they believe in Dak. But the thing is that they have no younger quarterback just in case if anything happens. And they have a Cooper Rush. What is a Cooper Rush? We don't know. What is the other quarterback that they have? We don't know if there's another quarterback on that roster. Just one more player that I want to go over. For the Jets, Israel Abakanda, Izzy, running back. Pittsburgh, rookie, 9 attempts, 27 yards, longest run was a 10-yard run, average 3 yards per carry, 1 touchdown. Bigger guy, can run the rock. Once he's in open space, it's over with. You saw this at Pitt. If you didn't see it at Pitt, please go check it out. Please, please go check it out. I think this man could definitely be a second, third down back. I think he could be an every down back. But see, the Jets, they have Breece Hall. And they were also looking at Dalvin Cook. So I honestly think that they are trying to assess Izzy Abanaconda to where, hey, do we have to sign Dalvin Cook? Do we have to pay all this money? Because eventually, we got to pay Aaron Rodgers. Eventually, we're going to have to pay Garrett Wilson. And we have other players as well that we're going to have to pay some money to. Because we want this defense to get better with Robert Saleh being the head coach. We want the offense to get better because the offense always has to score points in order to win. Everybody can't be the Baltimore Ravens of old. Everybody can't be the Orange Crush. Everybody can't be the Steel Curtain. You know what I'm saying? Everybody can't be the Texans of 2012. You know what I'm saying? I just wanted to do that. I had thrown it in there. I'm a Texans fan, so. But crazy enough, let's get into one of these topics. Running back value is up. The running back value is up. Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Jonathan Taylor, still going through it. Christian McCaffrey, the only running back that hasn't had issues getting an extension. He has a lot of questionable injuries. Nick Chubb hasn't just been really injured like that. Now, 2 years ago, he missed some games, but he was right back in action. Nick Chubb splits carries, and he was second in the NFL for yards on the ground. Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb has not been given a contract, no extension. Derrick Henry has not been given another extension.
and he's well deserving of it. If there's no Derrick Henry, there is no Tennessee Titans. Now, they did draft Tajay Spears, and I hope Tajay Spears from Tulane does extremely well, very, very well. But your bell cow, your proven player, is the player that needs the contract. You drafted Will Levis in the second round. How much faith do you really have in Ryan Tannehill not to pay Derrick Henry? Josh Jacobs, not reporting to camp. Good job, sir. Stand on your own, too. Josh Jacobs, stand on your two. Stand on your square. Because the running back, again, the value is up. Because there's a lot more running backs that are getting more carries and that are not getting injured. Huh? Not getting injured. That third year is very important. Once you clown in that third year going into that fourth, I believe every player, not just running backs, especially running backs, because the life expectancy of a running back is 6 years. Of a good to above average running back is 6 years, maybe seven. Elite freaks of nature, elite human beings, I'm not going to call us freaks, but elite beings that can just get out there and bang until they 32, 33 years old. You have your Adrian Petersons, you have your Frank Gores, you know, you have your backs that can just last and last and last. Your Edgerrin Jameses of the world that can just last and last and last. Your Amari Greens of the world that can get a second bite of the apple. Derrick Henry, you know, one of those, one of hims that can just do this. They can get a second bite at the apple. Who says that Nick Chubb, Josh Jacobs, or Jonathan Taylor, until we see it, can get a second bite of that apple? And team owners, CEOs, don't see the value in the true workhorse running back. They would rather running back split carries, than actually show their worth. Because they could easily say, well, we split carries so they won't get injured. That actually can bring down production, but that is not the case with Nick Chubb and the Browns. This is the same Browns that gave Deshaun Watson fully guaranteed money over 6 years. What, $236 million guaranteed. Wonderful. Stood up to the league, sat out with the Texans, forced his way out, requested a trade. It happened. The Texans got handsome compensation. Shout out to CJ Stroud. I hope he does well. I wanted Bryce Young, but CJ proved me wrong. Prove me wrong, CJ. Prove me wrong. I'm all about it. All for it. So now it comes down to the question. Is there still a racist history, ongoing history in sports? Are they still the $40 million slave? Are they not able to dictate their futures? Or is somebody just moving the pieces on the chessboard? With each piece on the chessboard, every piece has power. But the person that is moving the pieces, do they dictate every single move of these players? And the players don't know it, fail to realize it, know it, and accept it. But when will they snap out of it and say, I'm going to use my power as a peace mover instead of being the peace? Or I'm going to dictate my own moves. Huh. When that happens, I think the NFL is going to have a problem. Moving on. Topic two. I just talked about how Sexy Red got dirty feet
from quote unquote working hard, right? Young Miami is ready to settle down. I don't even understand what that means, Young Miami. She's ready to settle down. Quote, I'm in my 30s now, and I'm tired of being outside, and I need to be loved. Is her value, is she an asset, or is she diminished goods, or is she a liability? Diminished goods, meaning that it's still a value, but it wasn't what it was. An asset is something that builds value over time. It's like keeping wine in Napa Valley. It's like steak in a freezer, but the good cuts, not the chuck that you get at the store. Now, some stores, it depends on where you go, but I'm talking about the shit that's hanging in a freezer somewhere. They got to cut that. They got to go and charge you $115, $125 for that tomahawk. I'm talking, for me, a good steak is saltgrass. I love saltgrass. They got that blue cheese butter sauce. It's delicious. It's one of the most wonderful pieces of meat, pause, that I've ever tasted. But back to Young Miami. This is the same young lady that was with Diddy. This is the same young lady that's a city girl. This is the same young lady that's a city girl. And I said that twice because for those of y'all who don't know what that means, these are the women that feel like they can do the things that men do. This particular section of women, and when I mean women, the ones that are put in the spotlight are black women. So I'm talking directly to black women. Some black women feel as though, or this section of black women feel as though, they can put themselves in man spaces when it is convenient for a woman to do so, or when it is beneficial. Not all the time. Because if you were to put yourself in a man's space all the time, you would have to have the bad as well. You would have to suffer the consequences as well. You would have to know what it's like to deal with the stresses of a man. Being a protector, being a provider, being someone that has to, when it comes to risking our well-being, our mental space, we're completely aware of the woman taking care of home. We're completely aware of the woman being emotionally available, even when she's not emotionally available for herself. We're completely aware of everything you do. We are completely aware of birth, carrying life. We are completely aware of that. This is not a I hate women rant. This is not a I don't appreciate, you know, my mother, my aunts. You know, this is not men saying we don't appreciate women being mothers and aunts and grandmothers, great godmothers. This is not that. This is, if we have to respect you, can you find the value in us? If we have to respect you, can you find the value in us? Well, E, we have to value you and we have to respect you and you have to respect yourself. Young Miami allowed herself to be peed on and people to find out in the public eye. It ain't a lot of y'all that would allow a man to do certain things to you that are in the spectrum of hypersexuality or what would be considered as, oh, he real freak, or
Boy, I'm a whole freak. I'm this, I'm that. But I don't think for most people, and I know you gonna say, you know, what they do is what they do. They in their bedroom. You letting a man pee on you? Now, we talk so bad about R. Kelly peeing on little girls, but them little girls turn into grown women. So if grown women are being peed on now, and we glorifying it as a golden shower, gold is something of value. Here we go. Assets, diminished assets, or diminished value and liability. Now, if you get a diamond and you urinate on that diamond, who's buying it? Who's gonna put that on a band and propose with that? You not. So I'm not up for excuses about this. Now, shout out to my partners. I post this, and there are going to be men that will go after Young Miami. Now, I really hope that they open their eyes and see what they're getting into. Because people who deal with Diddy are people who deal with Diddy. Former baby mama ended up dead. Multiple allegations about him, you know, doing undercover homosexual things. If you're gay, or if that's your preference, if that's your lifestyle, embrace it. Don't be in the closet with it, man. What Pimp C say? You down low niggas need to come on out, because you know, and forgive me for saying this, but you know, quoting the legendary Pimp C, my brother Pimp said, "You fucking up the pussy population with your sick dick." And it's gotta stop. So if we know, if we really know who you are and how you identify, and you proud to say and acknowledge who you are, how about this? Come out and tell us. Let it be known. That's all. We ain't gonna hate you. We ain't gonna down talk you. Now, us as black folks, we gonna have our jokes. We gonna cap on you. But we still gonna love you, dog. We still gonna love you, baby. If you know, if you lesbian and you like girls. That's all I'm saying. Young Miami, you really need to evaluate yourself, baby. You got to figure out, are you an asset? Do you have diminished value, or are you a liability? You in your 30s and you talking about you want to settle down. What did you deal with? What did you go through? How are you going to present yourself to the next guy? Will that next guy be in your field? Will you have to quote unquote what Steve Harvey told a panel full of women? Will y'all be able to date down? Will you be able to find a good man that will accept a superstar undercover peeing on you, and that man is going to love and embrace you? Young Miami, I genuinely say, I hope you find it, because I guarantee you it's a guy out there that will worship the ground that you walk on. It won't be me, but it'll be somebody that's willing to do this. Question, ladies, if a man allowed himself to be peed on, defecated on, if you don't know what defecation is, would you allow a man that's been boo-booed on to lay up with you at night? Would you call him your man? If a lady stood over him, squatted, and handled her business on him, could you lay your head on his chest that night? I want you to let that sink in. Leave a comment. Make it a topic. A man spends $20,000 to transform himself into a collie. Trans puppies? CT? Trans puppies. Trans dogs. Trans men and women, now dogs. A man spent $20,000 to transform himself into Lassie. Lassie was a collie. If y'all don't know the show Lassie or the dog Lassie from the TV show, hashtag pissed puppies. Hashtag damn dogs. It should be a whole revolt. It should be a whole protest. I don't understand how a human being can go around. I don't know if it's a dog suit. I don't know if he had surgery to where now he has to walk on all fours. Y'all, to be honest, when I saw it, I was messed up. I don't know. Like, I in the midst of seeing it, it was almost like I had to look it up, and then I saw like little small articles saying, "Is your dog transgender? Does your dog perform the same sex?" Let me let you know something. And I think I said this on the last episode, right? Dogs know male dogs. And they act a certain way around each other. You ain't gonna see too many male dogs trying to get busy with other male dogs. Female dogs will maul a male when they're angry. And that male dog will not attack her because he knows that he's a male. And she is a female. Until you show me homosexuality, or until you show me transgenderism in a dolphin, and I'm not talking about these apes, because the dolphin exhibits more human behavior than any other animal on the face of the planet. And I don't want no fake studies neither. I need some solid, concrete evidence. And I told y'all on the last episode, if y'all didn't hear it, go back and see when I talked about Tyrone Hayes, Berkeley University professor, scientist, and chemist, about those chemicals turning reptiles, other amphibians, from man to woman, and women to men, or male to female, or female to male. Interesting. So I pulled up the article, right? And no black folks, it wasn't us. No white folks, it wasn't y'all. It says, a Japanese man. So the Asian community, I know some Asian folk that ain't fucking with this. So I'm not going to say this is an Asian thing, because I know some Asian folks that going to be like, man, what the hell is he on? But it says, a Japanese man spent over $20,000 for this border collie costume. So he's not getting surgical procedures done to become a dog.
he's in the he's in a dog suit. And he says, this is my hobby, so I will carry on. And it makes me happy and other people happy too. Now, to be honest with you, to see a human like this, how strong is this man to walk on all fours all day? Most of us who play football, we do bear crawls now to stay in shape. We did bear crawls back in the day in our teens as punishment, whether it be 100 yards around the field or up and down the hill. And it kept us in shape, and we didn't even realize it was keeping us in shape. And I mean, y'all gotta look this up, because this costume, it looks very real. But when you look at it long enough, you just see a human being acting like a dog. 3.2 million views. I want to know who every single one of you are. Watching this video since April 2022. I want to know who you are. I want to know who would actually do this. Who would try this? Back in the day, it was the lizard man that split his tongue and got his body tattooed green because he said he was a lizard. He was the gecko guy. He was reptile without the mask or the suit. He was Mortal Kombat. That's who he was. And you know what? That man was ahead of his time, because now you got a guy in a dog suit. This is who you are. I'm literally watching on NewYorkPost.com. He's scratching on the window in order to come in the house. Is this his wife? Nah, this looks very creepy. I'm clicking off of it. It looks creepy. I'm not gonna lie to you. Dogs across the country should be pissed. Dogs across the country should be hot. And I gotta switch my head, because this one's running out of battery. I'm sure the other one is going to be fully charged. I like to have the headset in to pick up everything. And now I am going to put the other one on the charger. Boom. Just that easy. I hope y'all can still hear me well. I got two more topics to go. This is going to be a little bit more serious. But to close on this trans puppy, this trans collie, Japanese man, I'm not even going to call you by your name, because you're a dog man. I'ma respect you. But look here, dog. Don't run into no real dogs. Don't be speaking for dogs. You're not a dog, sir. You're a human dressed up as a dog. You don't get fleas. You don't get ticks. You don't have to go what dogs go through. You don't get no shots. You don't get put to sleep. Have you been to a veterinarian? When you take off the suit, do you go to a doctor at a hospital for humans? Or do you go to a vet? Look here. If you're going to play, let us know that's what you're doing. As long as you say it's a hobby. But don't be putting yourself in dog, eat dog situations. Don't do that. The ASCAP, them folk, they will be on your ass, sir. Trying to tell you, some people will go to any lengths to show or try to be different. And I mean, that's cool, but question, where do we draw the line? Who's going to say something? Where do we draw the line at? Topic four. Since 2023 in Atlanta, 70,000 evictions in 7 months. More than 10K in 2022 alone. This is crazy. Atlanta Daily World is where you can find this. A.R. Shaw, executive editor. Now, this was July 31st, 2023. Over 72,000 evictions in Atlanta metro area within 7 months of 2023. That's crazy. So let's get into a little bit. The metro Atlanta area is experiencing an eviction crisis. Let's stop right there. Why is rent so damn high? Why aren't corporations adjusting to the cost of living in the United States? Why aren't corporations competing with the lifestyle that they set the company around? I'm sure most of these companies are in areas of economic prominence, growth, in outside of red line districts and in green line ones. Let's continue. Since January 2023, 72,600 evictions have been reported in the metro Atlanta area. In June alone, 11,159 evictions occurred. Let me say that again. Trap clap. In June alone, 11,159 evictions occurred. That's 1 month, according to stats published by Atlanta Federal Reserve Bank. The study focused on Clayton, Cobb, DeKalb or Cobb, Fulton, and Gwinnett counties. However, only 15.5% of the evictions from January to June of 2023 have processed from filing to completion in court. What this means is the first sentence. There is a crisis. Several crises. Let's continue. And I wonder, before I continue, what is the percentage of the black population that this is happening to? Would it be in Clayton, Cobb, DeKalb, or DeKalb, Fulton, and Gwinnett? I wonder what the black population is, and I wonder how much of us it is happening to. Now, this should be telling. Here's the next part of it. There are several factors that have contributed, I bet, to the increase of evictions. Rent in Atlanta has risen by 1.5% over the past 7 months, according to apartmentlist.com. Now, that's just one source, but that's also a small percentage for one source. So, Elliot, what's the problem? Here it is. The unemployment rate has risen to 4.0% in 2023. Boy, these motorcycles. From 3.3% in 2022. City leaders are looking for new ways to make more affordable housing available, as high interest rates and prices soar in the real estate market. Atlanta Mayor Andre Dickens announced the investment of $1.4 million. The police get more than that per year. The police get more than that per year.
They have to.
$1.4 million for affordable housing. Do you know what the budget is for public safety? Specifically under the police? Like the amount that they act? $277 million. Atlanta taxpayers spent roughly $244 million on public safety in the fiscal year of 2020, $260 million in the fiscal year of 2021, and $277 million in the fiscal year of 2022, according to Juan. And this article comes from atlanta.capitalnews.org/Atlanta Budget Explainer. Capitalnews.org is where you can find this. Who expects the police department to request more funding this year as well? But you can only spend $1.5 on affordable housing. That's interesting. Atlanta alone, the annual average budget for the police department is $204,754,624 and some change. Do you hear me? That's a hell of a number, but you can only attribute 1.4 or your little 1.5 what? Yeah, $1.4 million. To help folks. Atlanta's the same place that has Cop City, right? They have Cop City. What the hell is Cop City, E? Cop City is nicknamed critics have given the planned training center. The center is expected to cost $90 million and take up over 85 acres of land. With the remaining portion of the 265 acres property as green space, according to Center's website, potentially impacting a forest in Atlanta. And ironically, around these same counties that people are getting evicted in. Is there a connection? You damn right it is. Why wouldn't it be? Very interesting. And their reason via TheIntercept.com. Atlanta City Council gives the reason that crime has risen since 2020 and 2021 because of the wounds of George Floyd and Rashard Brooks. We're still healing. So we need this Atlanta Public Safety Training Center in order to help those wounds. You know what? I was gonna talk about this Colorado family dying off the grid because they chose to try to stay in the Colorado Rockies. I know black folks ain't doing that. I just know we not. I just see this crisis in Atlanta as more important. To be honest, black folks, I don't care how boring politics may be. If it's not Ice Cube or somebody that's well read, pay them no mind if they get to talking about voting. Pay them no mind if they get to talking about politics. Pay them no mind if they get to talking about things that don't matter. Please, pay them no mind. Pay them no mind.
because they have no idea what they're talking about. So, Elliot, what's the solution? Close the damn racial wealth gap. It costs more for racism to be in America than to actually pay reparations. Let me say that again. Via Citibank, Duke Institute from Duke University, and Brookings Institute, commentary on the black-white racial wealth gap, mobility and what to do about it, composed by Amber Smith, Ariel Shiro, and Christopher Pulliam, and also Richard Reeves. The article was published June 29th, 2022. Again, this is the Brookings Institute. They contribute to study on the U.S. economy, U.S. government and politics, technology and information, climate change, race and public policy topics and regions that it takes place in. Very credible place, don't you think? So, Elliot, how much does this cost? Because you talk about it all the time, but you never give any of us a piece of the article. I'd be more than happy to. After centuries of discrimination and economic exclusion, the U.S. radical or the U.S. racial, hell, they should have put radical racial wealth gap, remains stubbornly large. In our largest paper studying America's born in the 1940s through the 1960s, we showed that the median white American in their early 30s had $29,000 more wealth than the median black American of the same age. This racial wealth gap, this radical racial wealth gap, is even greater among older adults. The median white American in their late 50s had $250,000. So we went from 29 to $250,000 more wealth, the amount of wealth, not just paycheck income, little fly-by-night passive, little hustle. We're talking wealth than the median black American. This is not just because initial wealth gaps compound over time. As we show, even conditional on having, or even conditional, that's what it says, even conditional on having the same wealth in their early 30s, white Americans reach significantly higher wealth rank by their late 50s than black Americans. It gets scarier. Upward mobility less likely for black Americans. Despite of all the hustling, of all the stimulus checks, all the getting locked up for PPP loans, all the buy black and the black dollar is worth this, and if we stop buying Jordans and if we stop buying, that's not helping. If we stop today, wealth is not spending power. It's about buying power. It's about capital. Upward mobility less for black Americans. This still goes into since 2013 in Atlanta. It's been 70,000 evictions in 7 months and more than 11,000 in a month in predominantly black counties in Georgia that surround or that are around the Atlanta area, which are predominantly black areas in the 50 to the 70 percentile, not the 70th, but the 70th percentile. You know what I mean? So it reads, on top of having less wealth than white Americans to begin with, black Americans are both less likely to move up in the economic ladder and more likely to slide down it. Down is in italics, to make you see it.
where them letters lean to the right a little bit. Figure one shows the estimated wealth percentile attained by blacks and whites by their late 50s, starting from the 10th, 25th, 50th, 75th, or 90th wealth percentile. We compare people to the other to others their age were born around the same time. So figure one, what I'm basically looking at is stark race gap in wealth mobility. So early 30s, wealth percentile. The black bar, the black bar that represents the blue, it gets exponentially lower. It gets exponentially lower as the bar goes up. And for whites, it gets exponentially higher. And even when it gets lower, to see what I'm talking about, even when it gets lower, it's still higher than black folks. So even when they lose, they're still higher than black folks because black folks are going down. I just want y'all to understand. And feel free to read this. Feel free to read it at any time. I invite you to. I want you to. Because it has everything to do. Now, I understand people live outside their means. I understand people do the most. But this is why I speak on reparations the way that I do. This is why, or the result, this is the result of black economic failure. Evictions are happening. Reparations has been done for Native Americans, Japanese in the Japanese internment camps. The Japanese were paid $1.5 billion. Holocaust survivors and the descendants of the Holocaust were agreed upon by $3.45 billion. And this also comes from the Brookings Institute. The article is called Why We Need Reparations for Black Americans. Black Americans are the only group that has not received reparations for state-sanctioned racial discrimination. Let me say it again. State-sanctioned racial discrimination. While slavery afforded some of the white families the ability to accrue tremendous wealth. And we must note that American slavery was particularly, meaning that it was specific to a specific people. This wasn't minorities. This wasn't people of color. This was American Negroes. Right? Specifically, American Negroes. Now, this is also a key in the article. The United States had multiple opportunities to atone for slavery, each a missed chance to make the American dream reality, but has yet to undertake significant action, which results in 2022, more than 10,000 are evicted, 11,000 are evicted. Since 2023, you've had 70,000 evictions in 7 months. What were those missed opportunities, Elliot? 40 acres and a mule. At that time, we had significant skills in order to mechanize. I want y'all to go look up how big an acre is. Everybody talking about how they want 100 or 200 acres. Go look at 1 acre. You gonna man that? What you gonna grow on that? You can't buy seeds. You got to go through a big corporation to grow your own food. It's illegal to make your own water. Filter your own water. Purify and clean your own water. 40 acres and a mule would have done it back then, post-slavery. The New Deal. There's never a bad time to do what's morally right. But the United States has had prime opportunities to atone for slavery. In the 1930s, the United States, I'm reading from Brookings Institute, Why We Need Reparations for Black Americans, bear with me. The United States was reeling from the 1929 stock market crash, was firmly involved in the Great Depression. The Franklin Roosevelt administration implemented a series of policies as a part of the New Deal legislation estimated to cost roughly $50 billion. And this was in the 1930s. How much you would have think that would have been now? Let's find out. Then, to catapult the country out of depression, current estimate prices the New Deal at about $50 trillion. Print the damn money. How would that translate, Elliot? How would that help us, Elliot? People would have a place to stay. We would be able to afford not to be a part of business, but to do business with business. To start business, for customers to truly have economic value and to be treated like human beings. That's what it would do. And you ask me, what would that change in 2023, 2022, with people getting evicted? We have no anti-black policies. We have no real wealth. In this same article, it also gives the solutions and what would be needed over time. Who would qualify? Who would get it? And a stifling conclusion. I welcome any and everyone to read this article. You can go to Google and type in Brookings Institute, Why We Need Reparations for Black Americans. Rashawn Ray, Andre Perry, April 15th, 2020. Now, these young brothers put this together during 2020, during COVID. This needs to happen so we don't have brothers in the NFL breaking their bodies. Racist white old owners. Young girls getting peed on so they can be financially secure and feel loved. So folks won't have to worry about men dressing up as dogs and puppies. We'll have things to do. We'll have things to do. But most importantly, majority black counties in Georgia, majority black folks in those black counties in Georgia won't go homeless. So instead of a $1.4 million housing, affordable housing plan versus your over $200 million annual budget, your recently $277 million budget, with the approved $90 million in order to build a training center that you call Cop City for cops, force those corporations to compete. Pay us. Pay the citizens. Pay the employers. Or not the employer, but pay your employees more. You see where the country is going. Fix it. We just have to mash our foot on the gas. Look here, man. This is a solo, soulful Sunday podcast. I think I'm going to end it there. I want to have a special guest next week. I'm going to make that happen. The episode might be early, and I might drop it on Sunday. I'm not going to say who it is, but of course, I would love if this person got on here and we could actually just talk different topics and go back and forth. Contrary to what people believe, it is hard to do a podcast on your own. For the people who do it all the time, more power and love to you, because feeding off of other people or feeding off of another person is so much easier. So much respect to you all. But to my audience, to the fans, to my growing audience, much love, and I will see y'all and hear y'all, and y'all will hear me once again.